I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss bills before the state legislature that could have an impact on the local government, issues facing Georgia schools, as well as the latest regarding the Child Health Insurance Program. All that and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. Today, my guests are Gwen O'Looney with WXAG and District 6 Commissioner Jerry Neesmith. And I want to thank you both for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Jerry, I want to ask you, we're going to go over some of the things before the state legislature that really could have an impact here in Athens-Clarke County. I'm going to have you kind of kick this one off, and we'll just go down the list.
I'd be happy to. First of all, I want you to know that the Association of County Commissioners of Georgia, ACCG, and the Georgia Municipal Association do a great job in keeping local officials updated about what they see on the horizon in the state legislature and what's going on. So much of my notes here today are to the credit of them.
So we thank them.
Yes, we do. A few interesting little things that the Georgia Municipal Association is expecting is that the state's going to prohibit regulation of short-term rental properties, also known as Airbnb.
Ah.
Another one is they are looking at a state law that's going to prohibit distracted driving for using devices, and it's going to be very explicit as you can't talk on the telephone, you can't text on the telephone, and there will be increasing fines for each violation, which
that's
I kind of look forward to.
Does that include the built-in phones in cars? Because what they've done always in the past is they've made it against the law to use what poor people use.
You can't touch your telephone but one time.
But that, see, that allows the fancy cars.
Yeah.
That allows the elite to continue being able
to
talk.
At least you're not looking at your lap when you're doing 75 miles an hour on the loop.
Right.
Which is what's happening now.
No, we're talking about texting, whereas phone things can be done, you know.
I know
it under the law. But what I'm saying is the same thing I've always said. This happened when we talked about way back when it started. Mm. They will make against the law those things that big, fancy, expensive cars have. And then that means only the poor can't talk on their phone in their car. That's my concern.
Well, safety has a price.
So you're saying hands-free will be open.
Yeah,
right.
Hands-free.
But
not, you can't dial.
Right.
Well, you can say,
but
call.
You can, no, not hands-free won't be either if you're using your cell phone in the car. If you start talking to your mom, for instance, on the phone and drive off.
I don't know the exact regulations that they're talking about here, but what I did read, it was pretty heavy. It was pretty strong regulations. We'll see if that gets through.
Right, but the one button is in all the fancy cars.
Mm-hmm.
That allows all the fancy people to have their luxury, whereas other people cannot.
Mm-hmm. So you're afraid that's a two-tier system. People with means will be fine.
They're not encumbered one bit. Right.
And Gwen, the fact is this is about safety. And if your car is equipped so that you can drive safely, good for you. If it's not, you still got to drive safely. I understand what you're saying, but you don't go, oh, these people can't do that, so we can't regulate them.
Well, what they did before, the law that I saw last year, Jerry, was that it did not allow you to use a cell phone, but you could use your built-in phone. So it was just what you're saying. But cell phones, you only hit one thing, and then you can be talking on your phone without having the built-in. But they're not going to allow that. It's not allowed under at least the one last year, and I think it's the same one they're carrying forward.
Well, yeah, you won't be able to dial.
Anyway.
Okay, another one that's coming back again. Apparently, I couldn't find a bill on this, but GMA says there might be one, is prohibiting us from regulating plastic bags.
Oh.
And maybe when we get a new election and a new mayor, we actually might consider doing that.
And so many, we've got people in our community that work all over the country and pass these kind of really excellent laws. But that goes back to some of the other things they don't allow us to regulate. Like, what was the first one you read?
Short-term rental properties.
Right, Airbnbs. There's another. That's an elite level. Those are not, you know, and they endanger our hotel industry, which is very important to Athens. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about lots of people, and they're renting these places on a level of our better hotels.
Oh, yeah, they are.
That need their. And the other thing is that they are located in our residential neighborhoods. I've got three in my community, in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Only one is fully Airbnb, is not even lived in, which is a very bad thing for neighborhoods. Yeah. And so for them to take away the right for us to regulate Airbnbs is another, I think, protection of the elite.
Yeah. So those are some sort of relatively minor things compared to a couple of others that are. There's also a Senate Bill 302 and a House Bill 650, which is going to change the state law so that local governments may relocate, remove, conceal, and obscure monuments.
Okay. What is the likelihood of that actually going through? That's like taking a local Confederate monument down, which we can't do right now.
Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't give it a shot at all.
Right. I don't think
at least someone's trying.
Right.
Right. I think what we were talking about, since the 60s, the state has pretty much prohibited the removal of statues and commemorations from public properties. Right. So they've taken away that right a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
moving on.
The issue of storm management fees, which Frank Ginn is a champion of prohibiting us from having stormwater fees, or at least changing them a great deal. Right now, you know, everybody pays stormwater fees. State government, federal government, and residences and businesses pay stormwater fees.
And churches.
And even if you don't have stormwater flowing off your land and it's going into the river, you pay a stormwater fee. And it's based upon the amount of impervious surface that you have on your property. The concept there is we've got to collect enough money to manage stormwater all over the county, so everybody chips in.
Which is a federal mandate.
Right.
We have to do it.
So if they, for example, I think one of the things that Senator Ginn is after is if you don't produce stormwater, all of your water goes into the river, then you don't pay stormwater fees. Now, what that means is the stormwater fees will go up for the rest of us.
Right.
Or we'll have to raise property taxes. Right. Now, no one likes to hear that. They think it's a threat. But, you know, we have to pay for this.
He certainly wouldn't want property taxes raised.
You wouldn't think so.
Oh, he's not thinking about the local. State legislators traditionally do not care. They think they blame any property tax
on the local government. He has some constituents who have a lot of land and pay some stormwater fees. And he's really, I think, in my opinion, he's kind of representing their interests.
Right. But, you know, when you look at it, and he's saying that runoff straight into the river should not be accountable because it's not. But the reality is that that's where we have our major problems. When we did Bear Creek Reservoir, we had to put in two filters and cleaners of water that was coming down off of properties all over that had big dye fat vats and rugs that were thrown into the
agricultural runoff is the biggest problem we have.
Right, fertilizers.
We really don't do anything about that. That's one of the things that our riparian buffers are supposed to help us do is clean that water. Mm-hmm. Before it goes in.
But the state has consistently lowered our riparian buffers.
So Frank Ginn is, Frank Ginn is a chairman of a committee on stormwater management fees. He had legislation introduced last year that didn't make it to the floor, as I recall. So now there's a committee that's going to bring something else forward. So we'll have to watch that one.
Right. I'm glad they gave Frank something to do.
So mean.
That will certainly have an impact on us, though.
Another interesting one is actually goes the other way in letting us actually have some control over fireworks. Right now,
local control, Jay?
Local control.
Right. Because it's unenforceable.
We will not be able to prohibit fireworks on January the 1st and July the 4th. But we right now they're allowed by law from 10 a.m. to 12 midnight on the 1st and 2 days on either side, and on the same for July 4th. So there's fireworks going off basically for 4 days. So we would be able to change those days, still required to allow them on those holidays.
Right, but not necessarily the surrounding.
So we'll see where that goes. Now, the big ones, in my opinion, are there's some legislation that has to do with broadband. What is broadband?
Broadband is everything that the Internet is communicated with. I mean, carries the Internet.
That's true. And in your home, if you're using a telephone to connect, that is not broadband. But right. If you're using UVerse or you're using cable, it's broadband.
That's something I know Jonathan Wallace, the new representative for District 119, is interested in.
Yeah. So there's two bills, House Bill 232 and House Bill 533. And first of all, the big problem we have with broadband is we don't have it in the rural areas, or we don't have it in some of the urban neighborhoods. And that's because the cable companies or whoever provides this gets to choose where they put it. They have basically a monopoly, but they get to choose where to put it. Compare that to telephones. Telephones were a regulated monopoly.
Required.
When we use wires.
Yep.
And what we did is we said, okay, it's a regulated monopoly. Therefore, it's important to get service to everyone, so we're going to encourage the telephone company to give phones to everybody and provide that service, but we're going to guarantee a profit. That's how everybody
right.
won.
Right. And cable was required, was a regulated monopoly initially. TV cable?
Yeah. Yeah, we had franchises. And then the same thing with electricity, same exact thing, you know. Well, we don't consider, the law does not consider broadband to be a utility. It's basically unregulated. So one of the big goals, even of the legislature, is to get broadband to rural areas. But the way they're going about it, first of all, the industry is going to something called 5G. Right now, your phone is probably 3G or 4G. 5G is 10 times more bandwidth, 10 times the speed of your 4G. And it will be implemented by putting small towers, small cells, along the roadway, the right-of-way, rather than relying on towers. And these small cells will have that very high bandwidth, so that they can have more telephone calls or whatever you're doing on your device, whatever device it may be, than we have the capacity for now. It's a great idea. That does nothing for rural broadband.
That's right. It has like a thousand square foot.
Yeah, it's this thousand
radius.
About less than a 1,000 foot radius effectiveness of
this. So it's great for density,
It's for density. So there's a lot of confusion, in my opinion, because we actually considered some things in local government about this, and there was a lot of confusion and false hopes and promises made about that being a solution for rural broadband. It's not. Everybody's clear now. It's not.
Okay.
So the companies like AT&T and Sprint and the rest are putting the government under pressure to force the local governments to allow these small cells to be installed wherever they want to, without regard to our zoning laws, with very little remuneration to us.
And that remuneration is so important, because those are our poles
right.
that are out there.
Right.
The telephone companies have to pay for those poles. The cables have to pay for those poles. It's just not right for them to suddenly deregulate all of the things that we are receiving money for and have to monitor.
This legislation does things such as this. If you don't provide a permit, after the permit is applied for, if you don't provide that permit in 60 days, it's considered as granted. And then if it's rejected, you have to give the reasons, and if they cure those reasons, it's granted. And
right.
if you don't answer that in 30 days, it's granted. ACCG, the county commissioners, and the Georgia Municipal Association have been working now for a year or two with Sprint and AT&T and a couple of others that build this stuff to come up with model local ordinances that everybody's happy with. so that we are able to use our zoning laws to regulate where the stuff goes, how tall it is, how big it is, and get the right kinds of fees per pole or per device. Oh, this takes all that capability away from us. So what we're after as local governments and our representatives in these two agencies or two groups is allow us to regulate our own access or in our right of way for these permits, and even provide us with a mutually agreed upon model ordinance that we use. That's really all we want.
And that your groups have been working to develop with them.
Yes, and we have two contracts already in local government to do this. If these laws pass, those are gone. Those ordinances are null and void.
And what you're fighting is the lobbyist for Georgia Power and AT&T and all of the others.
Yes.
That's who you're fighting.
Yes, yes. And we also want them to provide tax incentives to these companies to provide broadband in the rural areas, provide them some tax incentives to do that. Because without that, they're not going to do it. There's no money in it. So anyway, that's that issue in a nutshell.
And that's an important issue, Jerry. That's,
right.
Yeah,
so
that
and
is
it's
something.
Two issues. It's two issues. One is controlling the right-of-ways for the small cells in the urban areas and encouraging and being able to control what they put in the rural areas along our right-of-way and encourage that development in the areas. These laws don't do that. They just let them do whatever they want without our involvement for all intents and purposes. So GMA and ACCG are fighting these very, very hard.
You know, one of the things, Sherry, before you move on is I think it's interesting that we haven't moved to understanding that broadband and internet, the internet is like a utility.
It is.
It's a crucial, required need that you have for educating your kids, now you have no, Georgia Power has no customer service centers. You have to do everything through the internet. So, I mean, that's just one example.
Well, you can't apply for a job.
Right. You can't apply.
Except
that's a
online.
Perfect, yes. And so broadband is not just some luxury, something laying out there. It is got to be available for everyone for opportunities.
The internet is necessary.
Necessary.
This is not something that's an option. It shouldn't be an option. It's not an extra or a luxury.
Well, and you know, people in the rural areas can't even use their cell phones for the most part.
Right, mm-hmm. That's
their
right.
Cell phones are no good.
You know,
and they don't have cable service, so you know they're using their telephone. That's all
right.
They got.
Right, right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's got to be that's going to take a lot more work before they get that right.
Yeah, that just seems to just hamper your.
And the answer is to let us figure it out.
Yeah.
Let
but
us
they don't
figure
do
it
that.
Out with nah. industry at a local level.
Yeah. They're talking to industry. Industry's buying their meals up there.
Yeah. You know, right now, local governments do not know where their sales taxes come from. We get a check. Is it every month, Gwen?
Yes, every month.
Every month. We get a
Although,
check from the state. We
every
don't
once
know.
In a while, we get
and sometimes
one
we get
and
a
two.
Bill.
Yeah,
sometimes we get
three.
A bill
yeah.
taking money back.
Right,
and sometimes
they messed
we get
up.
Some, we don't know why.
Right.
We don't know where the taxes have come from. Well, one of the ideas is for the state to allow us to see the addresses where our sales taxes are being collected and how much.
Yes.
And that's important for economic
yeah.
planning. It's also important to make sure everybody's paying their sales tax.
Right.
Then there's the internet again, sales taxes. The only people that are required to sales tax, vendors who are required to sales ta- to
pay
sales taxes
mm-hmm.
are those who have a presence in Georgia. So Amazon has a presence in Georgia, so they have to collect sales taxes.
Right.
Right? Hardly anyone else does. So there's a bill that will require that sales taxes be collected by any business that does over 200 transactions or $250,000 a year. They will have to pay sales taxes. Now there's another problem. Unless we know where those sales taxes came from, and I don't mean Amazon, I mean the consumer, we still don't know if we're getting the right taxes. Example, zip code 30622. That's parts of three counties on the west side. Amazon Select is collecting sales taxes. Where is that money going? Is it going to Bogart?
Right.
Is it going to Athens? Is it going to Oconee County? Who knows?
We can just guess.
We can only guess, and we don't know how they collect it.
Right. And neither does the state right now, but it has the opportunity to do that.
There's one hitch to this bill, and that is that it only applies about seeing where the taxes come from.
Yeah.
Right now, the way it's written, it's with localities that are 350,000 population or more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Those are relatively large. Right.
But if they have that capacity to provide that, they could provide it to anyone. But they do not have that. They're not willing to pay what it costs to do a good job of accounting our state taxes.
With automation and so forth now, that's just not a problem.
Yeah, it's obsolete.
Not a problem.
Right.
I know we wanted to also discuss issues relating to Georgia schools.
Yes.
And what's going on there.
Georgia Partnership for Excellence in Education has just put out their annual top 10 issues. And they do such a great job. And I'm so proud of the fact that, you know, through family connection and the Gracie found the I can't remember the name of the foundation. So anyway, through family connection and the annual collection of data in our state, we're beginning to have this, and we did not have it for many years. But Georgia has really gotten improved. Our fourth graders can now read at a level that is next to the average and has greatly increased. And our eighth graders have math skills that are comparable now. So we look a lot better. But, you know, I did not realize this, but Jerry was just talking about the rural needs of Georgia. We are the third largest rural school population in the nation.
I didn't know that.
I never knew that, but it shows how much poverty and how much opportunities a lot of our kids don't have that are not in. And so that's one of the things that I think is really important for us to think about as we go ahead. The other thing is Peach Care. You know, the CHIP, the Child Health Insurance Program, was approved by the feds when they agreed to start the government back up. But they did not fund the over 10,000 community health clinics in the nation that are the source of most of that Peach Care.
Where will they go?
That's right. We'll have kids with insurance cards with nowhere to go. And that's important for us locally because we have the Athens Neighborhood Health Center as one of our largest providers of health care in our community. It's been my health provider for over 20 years. So,
and they provide really great care. Mm-hmm.
Very great. Mm-hmm. It's really impressive. So that's some of the things.
It's interesting that you say this because the health centers are typically well regarded for what they do, the services they provide, and they do reach all levels of the community. They do, of course, help the underserved and the people who...
Yeah, they have scaled rates.
Right,
so. Right.
But anybody can go. Professors
that's right.
go.
That's
anybody
right.
in the community
and insurance
can go.
Holders should support these
Absolutely.
Groups because it balances. It gives them that... average that they need.
That was something that I think they did. There's certain strength in the community because they provide good care and a range of care, and that sliding fee scale. Is,
right. The other thing that we really exceed the nation in the number of preschool programs that we have, and that's another family connection program that we started. Athens can be very proud of being a leader in making that. Available, but and that's great. But our special education teachers and our preschool teachers are making like $9 an hour and $16 an hour for lead teachers, and there is no money at all for raising the salaries of teachers. We're less than Alabama now.
I
know we always say don't, you know, we don't want to be worse than Alabama for heaven's sakes, but. We are.
Do we still have Mississippi to fall back on?
That's maybe. Just, I don't know.
It's not funny, but that's really pretty horrific.
It's really frightening because the teachers are really the gateway to our society. When those children walk in that door, what those teachers teach and the encouragement that they give them, that is so crucial. It's got to have the supplement of families. Of
Think
course.
Of the impact one teacher has if
one
she's there
teacher.
Just
and
for
you,
a few years.
All of us can name.
You know?
Yes.
What
all
an impact they have.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them burning out or not able to live. I commend people who want to teach. So we want to encourage people to do it with, I don't know, money.
Yeah. It's a calling, and people need to afford to take that call.
But yes, you're right, Jerry.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. It's a calling, but you need to be able to live.
Yes.
And then teachers also contribute so much of their own income to buying paper and supplies for students who don't have.
And I don't want anyone to forget that they were going to take that out. They were going to take that ability away from teachers that are supplementing our school supplies. Yeah. And the outcry was huge. But the outcry needs to be even huger related to salaries.
We're in agreement here.
Yeah, I believe this proposed state budget includes no raises for teachers
or state our employees. Workers. Yeah, no raises at all. And we are so far behind. And they're talking about how much they're improving tech school fees, that their budget for tech school is going up. They're not up to where they were when they cut it back in, I think it was 2007 or 8 or 9. They just slashed tech schools. So we are not anywhere close to where we need to be.
There's one other thing that they're talking about. It's called modernization and balanced funding for the 911 system. Right now, the 911 system is paid by franchise fees from your landline. And also a franchise fee from your cell phone, but a lot of cell phones don't have to pay this fee, especially if it's a throwaway phone or a prepaid phone.
Right.
They don't collect a fee, and the fees are not being allocated back to the local governments in any kind of transparent way. So this bill will, first of all, require a franchise fee for any cell phone, and it will create a centralized location where the fees will be reported to, collected, and then redistributed back to the local communities. Now, what's interesting is in this town, that's a problem, because 40,000, 35,000 cell phones, probably, many of them are being paid for somewhere else in some other town, like Atlanta suburbs.
Right.
So we don't get those fees, but we're providing the 911 service to those students. No one's come up with an answer for that one yet.
Yeah, Jerry, you brought up some good points there, but how are we going to fix it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Well, maybe this would be a start.
That's a start. It's a lot of work, and I'm glad some good minds are going to be on it.
Right.
One more thing. I believe the next Athens-Clarke County work session will be held in chambers and will be televised.
Fantastic.
We're working on the details. It may be the next one or the one after. We're going to give it a try.
Right.
Well, speaking about our local commission, we have two people that are declaring for District 7. That's Russell Edwards and Bill Overend. And the rumor is that Diane Bell will not run again. So that's an interesting tidbit for news that does matter.
It does matter. You're right. That's going to do it for today's show. I want to thank my guests, Gwen O'Looney, and District 6 Commissioner Jerry Neesmith. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ripley.